Good morning. Got any Dodgers fans here today? You know, if you like baseball, you like the last 10 days. Man, I'm a baseball guy, and I have never seen such a World Series. It's a shame somebody had to lose. And it's a shame it wasn't the Dodgers. Oh, well. Good morning. Let's go to the scripture. Now, I'll introduce it first. We're supposed to be back in Galatians 5. I know you guys couldn't wait for the ninth reading, but I did the logistics for the next few weeks going into Advent, and something needed to drop. And so I dropped the summary sermon. I think you probably got enough of the fruit of the Spirit to know the gist of that. This morning, we're starting a new series on the senses. And the first one will be about listening. So, listen to this. We're in Romans 8, 24 through 27. If you have your Bibles, read along with me. For in this hope we were saved. Now, hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches hearts knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And these are the words of God. May he add his blessing to this partial reading of his holy word. Let's pray together now. Good morning, Father. Thank you for being with us this morning. And going out with us. Help us now to feel that presence and be present in your presence. And let the words of my mouth and the meditations of every heart that hears this message be acceptable in your sight. Oh Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So today, as we start a series of messages that deal with the senses, they deal with the way we communicate with God and the way he communicates with us. And we're going to start with listening. Do you ever find yourself talking to someone, and while you're talking, you notice that look? You know that look. The one where their eyes just sort of glaze over, and you realize they've left the building. What you're saying is not getting through. You might as well be talking to a telephone pole. I have to confess, I feel that way sometimes delivering the message on Sunday morning. And I'm sure you do too. When I talk about religion too long with Cindy, I get that look. It's not that she's not religious, far from it. It's just too much of the same thing for too long. She needs a break. And sometimes I get so carried away, I don't really know when to stop. I mean, I thank God for that. I'm 118 years old, but I still have some passion. But it can be an overload sometimes. I think Jesus had the same problem. In the Gospels, He keeps saying, he who has ears, let him hear. That phrase is used at least seven times in the Synoptic Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and five more times in the book of Revelation. Now, most everyone's got ears, so Jesus wasn't talking literally, was he? What do you think he meant? Maybe he meant that if we're too proud in our self-reliance, if we're too busy thinking of how to respond or what we think, we can't hear the Spirit of God talking to us. We have to submit to the sovereignty of God before we can really hear him. Hearing is way more than the audio portion, isn't it? It's a comprehensive thing that takes the brain as well and the heart. But that's all about whether or not we're listening to God. Today I want to ask you whether God listens to us. Think about it. And how does he listen to us? Think about that too. I wonder about God. Billions of prayers go out to him every day, perhaps every minute. Some prayers are really important, don't you think? Like when you're on the roof of your house waiting to be rescued before you're swept down the river. Now that's an important prayer. Does God give some prayers priority over others? We certainly would. Wouldn't you assign more priority to the person on that roof than to somebody who wants a raise or wants to do well on a test? Isn't life or death more important than being on time? We say so, but what does God say? How do you know that God is listening? Think about all the times you've lifted up prayer to God. It's probably in the thousands, maybe tens of thousands. And all those times of prayer, has God answered you? Did he send you a letter? Maybe pick up the phone and call you? Did he text you or Instagram you? Tweet you? How does God talk to you? How do you talk to God? Chances are you spend a fair amount of time in prayer. And what are you talking about? I hope you're different from me, but I spend a lot of time catching myself talking about my own problems as though there's nothing else to talk about with God. Hey, God, let me tell you about my life. Now, we spend time asking for our families to be blessed or delivered or spared. Do you ever talk to God about his problems? God has problems, you know. At least I think he does. I mean, I'm one of them. God made people, and people come equipped with a host of problems. If we don't arrive on earth with problems, we quickly acquire them along the road of life, and our problems become God's problems. The scriptures talk a lot about God listening to us. It's everywhere. It's in the Psalms. It's in Proverbs, Isaiah, Jeremiah, the Gospels. Here's just a small sampling. Now, if you like to take notes, it's a good time to pull out your pencil. Here's a bunch of verses about God listening. And when you listen to these, I want you to listen to discern something here. Listen to the verbs. What's going on with these verses? 1 John 5. And this is the confidence that we have toward him, that we, if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Psalm 66, 17, I cried to him with my mouth, and high praise was on my tongue. If I had cherished iniquity in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. But truly God has listened. He's attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, because he's not rejected my prayer or removed his steadfast love from me. John 9. We know that God does not listen to sinners. But if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, God listens to him or her. Proverbs 15. The Lord is far from the wicked, but he hears the prayer of the righteous. Isaiah 59, but your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you, so that he does not hear. Psalm 18, in my distress I called upon the Lord to my God. I cried for help from his temple. He heard my voice, and my cry to him reached his ears. Psalm 66 again, this time verse 18. If I had cherished iniquity in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. Jeremiah 33, call to me and I'll answer you and will tell you great and hidden things that you have not known. Note the characteristics in these verses. Asking, doing his will, crying to him, worshiping, being righteous, distress call, calling to him. They're all there in this collection. Now, notice the characteristics in the verses where God does not listen. Does not listen to sinners. Cherishing iniquity. We have come to God obediently, and we have to come to God obediently. And we have to trust in him. To question that, you see the result in the scripture. It's to close our Heavenly Father's ears. If you come to him in the wrong spirit, he's not going to listen. In today's passage from Romans 8, Paul is writing to the church, guess where, in Rome, a church he's never visited. But his love for them is obvious. Paul says, we really don't know how to pray. But that it doesn't matter. You want to hear that one again? It's straight from Paul. We don't know how to pray, but it doesn't matter. He says that the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, intercedes with groaning in the ESV translation, and another translation with sighs. The Holy Spirit intercedes with sighs. Can you feel that? You can. Here's the Holy Spirit taking it in and going, the intercession happens because it's God's will for the Spirit to intercede for us. And, says Paul, God searches the heart, where he finds, guess who? The Holy Spirit interceding for us. It seems as though even if we pray badly, a heavenly spell check is taking place through the Holy Spirit, so that by the time our prayers arrive at their destination, they've been cleaned up. The Spirit has sighed all over them until they're ready for God to receive. It seems to me from that reading that it's more important to God that we pray than it is about the manner of our prayer. He wants us to talk to him. The book of Philippians is a letter written by Paul from prison to his church in Philippi, the church he started. In chapter 4, Paul urges his fellow Christians to stand firm in the Lord. He goes on to encourage the church not to worry about anything. He says that in everything, that's good, bad, and indifferent, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, to let their requests be made known to God. But is God listening? Yes, says Paul. According to Paul, God's peace will guard our hearts and minds in Christ. Eugene Peterson, one of my favorites, he wrote The Message, started a church that he pastored about 40 years. He's left us now. prolific writer. He says there are four ways to know that God is listening. First, we have the written word, the Bible. God gives us commands and laws and wisdom, biblical role models, scriptural principles, to name a few. The entire Bible is generously sprinkled with ways and means to teach us the truth. Finding those truths begins our journey of prayer. And that journey of prayer is our direct line of communication with our Heavenly Father. How do we listen? How does God listen? Through God's Word. That's the first one. Second, God's Word is chock full of promises. Promises from God. Proverbs 3:5, God will direct our paths. James 1:5, God will give us wisdom. John 14:13, as we conform to the image of Christ, God will cause all things to work together for good. You can see that again in the next verse we didn't read this morning, Romans 8:28, same thing. So God's word, God's promises. Third, it doesn't matter if our prayers don't sound so eloquent. I remember growing up at First Presbyterian Church in Kannapolis, we had a guy, he was like the designated prayer. Y'all have one here, I haven't heard it. You call on Bob, I won't use his last name, but Bob. Bob could give you 15 minutes. Just say, pray, Bob, and off he went. And every sentence was like designer stuff, you know? I pray to God, I go, Father, please forgive me. This guy, he had it. But that's not what it's all about. Our passage today reminds us that the Holy Spirit intercedes for us and makes our prayers on target. Doesn't matter how we send them. They're going to arrive exactly the way the Holy Spirit wants to put it back together for us. And fourth, Jesus sits at the Father's right hand, interceding on our behalf through Jesus himself and through the Holy Spirit. That's from Hebrews 7:25. So we have God's word, God's promises, and we have intercession. Not only does the Holy Spirit intercede for us, so does Jesus himself. Now put those together and you can see what's really going on. The Holy Spirit and Jesus Christ intercede with God and for us. Now, what have I just described? The Trinity. It's all over Romans 8. The Trinity is in action. It is God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit acting in concert in our behalf. Is God listening? Think of all the ways that he's answered your prayers over the years. In all the ways, he uses other people. He uses events. He uses grief and sadness and happiness and success and failure. I remember, was it you, Darren, the other week, said, I'd rather do a funeral anytime than a wedding. People listen. If it wasn't, I apologize. Somebody said it to me. People listen at funerals. They don't listen at weddings. You might have a chance to get through to somebody. God uses that. He uses movies. He uses TV programs. He uses animals. Don't get me started on animals. The dog I have now, that we have, the dog that we had last year in Pennsylvania, that dog talked to me and never used a word. Have I mentioned music? He uses everything in the arena of creation to show us how much he listens to us. And yet, sometimes we still cannot hear. Yes, God is listening. Don't blame God when you aren't. Yes, God is listening. And unlike us, he seldom barks at an answer right away. I used to have a client when I was practicing law. Actually, I had more than one. This guy was a real estate developer. We got to be friends and enemies and friends again over the years. And he used to say, I'm thinking with my lips. Think about that one. That's not a good thing to do. It means you're blurting out something without thinking it through. God doesn't do that. God comes to us in the still, small voices of those we love. He comes to us on the wind, in the night, in a roar, and in a whisper. Of course God is listening. He shows us the evidence in 1,000 different ways. It's not that he doesn't listen. It's that we don't. If I had a nickel for every time I've started a prayer and found myself 3 minutes later wandered completely off the subject and having to apologize to God for not being able to keep on task in my own prayer. Earlier in this message, I asked the question, does God prioritize prayers? Does he filter them in order to answer the pressing ones first? What do you think? I think that's a human question for a godly issue. What does God do? I don't know. I'm a human being and I reason like one. He's God. He can do things I can't even dream of. But I do know that every single prayer I have ever prayed got an answer. That just came on God's time instead of mine. To paraphrase Eugene Peterson, when you pray, you're keeping a divine appointment with God. I love that. I frankly never thought about it in quite that way. It's not only an awesome privilege to be able to go to God in prayer anytime we want, any place we are, it's also a divine appointment. When you pray, you are communicating with God and he is listening to you. You may have trouble scheduling time with your dentist or your doctor or your hairdresser, but you'll never have that problem with God. All we have to do is pray. We can do it on our knees. We can do it driving down the road. We can do it in the still of the night. We can do it in the roar of the crowd. It doesn't matter to God. He just wants us to pray. And he is listening. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word and your promises. Thank you even more for your intercession from the Spirit to Jesus himself. Thank you for when we pray inartfully for your sighing and groaning as you auto-correct us. Most of all, Lord, thank you that you love us and help us to love you back. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.